He liked your fanny pack and wanted to pack your fanny.
I finished. I took care of myself. I needed some self-soothing at that point. It was medicinal.
Twinks and Speedos.
Hello and welcome. We are back from theballerlifestyle.com. It is the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. My name is Brian Beckner. Thank you for joining us on the program. That's my Insta story in the background. I was doing a little Insta story there. Those of you that follow me on the gram, stay up on my Insta stories. And a lot of times I'll do one right here as we begin recording.
Or maybe take an Uber and get some loaded.
But sometimes I keep it going, and it's, you know, it's just immediately you do, and Adele will know a lot about this because he watched my Insta stories. But you as soon as you play it, as soon as you record it, then you save it, and it starts playing it again, and that, you know, that comes back into the microphone. Thank you for joining us. Episode 218 of the show. A lot of good feedback recently. I haven't given out the numbers in a while. If you want to get in the mix as far as regular contributor status to the show, you can do that. I notice our good friend Dean likes to come in right under the wire all the time. So I just happen to check my Twitter before going live, and he was like, "You cucks, start recording yet?" And but we had him, but I didn't see the tweet in time. But because he likes to get in there right at the end. So mailbag@theballerlifestyle.com is the email address if you would like to get in at roughly 5:50 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on a Tuesday evening, sometimes Mondays. Sometimes we do it on Monday. You can do that. You can also call us. 949-464-TBLS is the voicemail line. If you want to hear yourself on here, it's a little harder to do. It's not easy. You think it's easy, but when you start talking, you forget about shit. You get a little self-conscious, and you start second-guessing yourself. And sometimes, maybe you say the same word twice. And you go, oh, that doesn't sound good. And then you're thinking about it. You're in your own head. But hey, if you can do it, do it. 949-464-TBLS. Also, a lot of good action on our Facebook page and our Facebook group. That you have to ask to join. I don't know why. I didn't set it up like that. I don't know. I'm not very tech. But anyway, there's a Facebook page and a Facebook group. The group is lighting the world on fire. A lot of action there. So the Baller Lifestyle Podcast group on Facebook, or the Baller Lifestyle podcast Facebook page, either, both, you should do both. And of course, iTunes. I haven't checked the iTunes. We're getting some good reviews there for a while. Go to iTunes, Apple Podcasts, as the cool kids are calling it now, either. Just go there and search our show and leave a review, and this is what happens. This is why it's hard to leave a voicemail, because I start talking about the iTunes reviews and I tell you to leave a review. I tell you to leave a 5-star review. And then it may immediately, I remember that fucking pussy that sent us an email for saying we're getting too political and then left us a 2-star review. And the 2-star review is like, I like these guys before they got political. And then I'm like, hey, you fucking pussy, you gave us a 2-star review. And he's like, that wasn't me. What? You're the guy that emailed the same week leaves us a 2-star review with the same criticism. Go fuck yourself. But more so than you, at least you wrote something, an email where I had my way with you on the show, but that's, I'm always going to get the last word because I'm here. But the other two guys that left the 1-star, there's two people left 1-star reviews, but they left 1-star ratings. And they didn't leave a review because they're fucking pussies. You fucking baby. You talk shit on my show? Talk some shit. Just click a 1-star. What a fucking pussy. Passive aggressive little bitch. Fuck you. You're a fucking baby. Go fuck yourself. See, this is what happens. This is what, you know, I get extemporaneous and shit starts popping. It just starts happening in my head. I start a thought. I stop a thought. I start a new thought. This is my genius. Joining me now, speaking of geniuses, joining me now, everybody loves this guy. His name's Ed Daly. He is with us right now from Hoboken, New Jersey. Ed,
hey, Brian.
How are you, buddy?
Doing well. Now, this past weekend, I was in a pretty significant back and forth over text with a buddy, and I thought it would be an important enough issue to bring up on the show. And I know, you know, I know people get up in arms. It could be polarizing. If you're pissed off with me, you know, it's fine. But I think it's an important subject, and I think you could shed some light.
People don't like it when we get political, Ed. But also, some people expressly come here for us to get political. So it's a win-win.
I haven't really told you what the subject is.
Oh, okay.
The question is this. How many sexual partners do you think Bobby Kremins has had in his lifetime? Because there's no way of knowing. Like, we've been at the low single digits to like 60, we've done some research. You know, we were like, well, now can't be. The guy was rocking a white mo haircut for like most of his life.
Yeah, is that? I haven't looked at him in a while, but that could be a piece. Go on.
He's born on the 4th of July, 1947, so he's 70.
7 years old.
He's been married to Carolyn since 1974.
That's 40. He's been married for 40 years, so he's 70. He would have had to get all his fucking out, or most of it, before he turned 70. Although
he lives in Hilton Head now.
Yeah.
But here's what – and so those are a lot of facts that could make the number – and I think it might have been a college sweetheart. So, I mean, could keep that number pretty low. Because, like, it's one thing when you're Patino and, like, you're winning games and stuff. And it's not like Patino's the best-looking guy in the world. But when you're rocking a white mo,
it's tough.
It's not like, you know, the boosters really want to fuck you. So, but what he has going for him was he was the captain of South Carolina's 1970 team that went 25-3.
Well, then, he got some pussy there.
He's got a nickname, Cakes.
That's a good nickname.
He was the Final Four coach with that Lethal Weapon 3 with Kenny Anderson, Brian Oliver, and Dennis Scott.
Right.
I think he got a little bit in. My guess, says it's in the 40s.
No.
My guess is like 4.
Oh, yeah. I'd say under 10. Fewer than 10.
Yeah.
He was playing.
Anyone that's not familiar with him, just Google Bobby Kremins, and you're going to see a guy with like a, you know, mo from the Three Stooges, like a white mo haircut.
He's a real. It's tough to tell. Also, he's not a bad looking guy. He's got a little Phil Donahue going for him,
right?
When he's younger, but the hair. Oh, that's Dean Smith there. The hair looked more fake. When he was younger, like you show me a picture of him in 1986, and I'm like, oh, that guy's wearing a wig. But like the later pictures, it almost looks like real hair. It is so tough to tell. I'm gonna say, now this picture's low res right here. So and a lot of them aren't that big. He could be like, you know, that record producer Mutt Lang.
Yes.
He produced like AC/DC and Def Leppard. Yeah, yeah. He was married to Shania Twain. But then he like took up with her best friend, and then Shania Twain took up with the best friend's husband. They did like what those Yankees players did in the 70s.
Oh yeah. They switched. They all swap a room.
But what Mutt Lang does is he like is so proprietary about his image is he buys the rights to every photograph of himself so that nothing goes up can be on the internet. And if you look up Mutt Lang, there's only a couple pictures of him on the internet. There's just a couple.
Really?
Because he's doesn't like to be seen. He's very reclusive. This Bobby Kremins, maybe the same thing. He's just bought all the high res images. So if you look, they're all very small pictures. This is fake hair. I'm going to go with this is a piece. Also, yes, he was like playing hoop in the, I guess, early or in the 60s.
Yep. Yeah.
Just nobody was fucking the basketball team in the 60s.
That's true. It was uncool.
Yes.
Unless you were Bill Walton.
You know, like, He was a nerd. Like that's you played basketball nerd, at South Carolina. You were a nerd. Then he gets married at 30, and they were probably together a few years before that. and he was like a graduate assistant, probably like working his way up the coaching ranks, I would be shocked. I would take the under on 9.5 sex partners for Bobby.
Yeah, I'm
Primus.
So glad you said it, because we, I mean,
40.
When I say we were going back and forth, like, I seriously think there were at least 50 texts about this subject.
We have a very vast audience. We have a, you wouldn't know it, but from our iTunes reviews, because about 2% of the people that listen weekly have reviewed us on iTunes. So you guys can go fuck yourselves, just like the guys that gave 1-star reviews. But we have a pretty diverse, pretty large audience. And I would say that there maybe 5 to 10% of our audience has boned more than 40 people in their lifetime. And I wouldn't put Bobby Kremins in that category. No chance. No chance. If he, like, I'd be pretty surprised if it got up to 11. But I would set the number at 9.5, and that would get you enough betting going both ways. But I would take the under on 9.5, Bobby Kremins. Okay.
All right, thanks, because yeah. I just thought it was important. And because we discussed that one, let's see if anyone wants to weigh in. I will give a new subject for next week. How about Ed Begley Jr.?
Oh, Ed Begley Jr.
Let's bring it up next week. Well,
okay.
If people want to weigh in, because that's a guy who's not Goldblum. He's not a sexual being.
Oh, mm-hmm.
But he's famous. He's been famous for like 40 years.
Yep. Used to hang with Belushi back in the day. Belushi companion back in the day. The guy liked to have a good time. Now he's an environmentalist.
He's into green.
Yeah. He's great on whenever he shows up. He's on Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Right.
What did I see him in recently where he just showed up? Because you always expect him to be himself. But
right.
You know, he's like plays a character and you're like, oh, wait, yeah, he's not Ed Begley Jr. Hold on. I'm getting so many texts on the show. During the show, like, people don't respect us. I'm just going to say, hold on, I got to respond to this. Because if I don't, there's things we could edit this out, but I'll be too lazy. Okay, now I'm back. Now you have my full attention. Have you been watching Westworld? You gave up in the first season.
I tapped out. I saw the first season to completion, and then I was like,
oh my God, it is so bad. I have no clue what's going on, and I'm a real victim of the Me Too movement, because I might be the main victim of the whole Me Too situation, because I'm watching Westworld. There's been 2 episodes and I want to quit it so bad. And I know it will be very liberating once I do, but I feel like, oh no, it's going to click and I'm really going to like it. It's kind of like when I forced my son to play baseball and he clearly was not into it. I feel like it's one day it's just going to click. But by my count, this season through 2 episodes, we are at 1 dick and 0 breasts.
Whoa.
So far.
That was like 90% of the reason to watch this show.
Exactly. Like Tandy Newton, she's tearing it up. She's like the main, one of the main people on the show. Like, also, used to be fucking, for season 1, she was naked in every episode.
She sit on a table naked. She was naked all the time.
And she's super hot. And she's got a great body. And it's like, I would not be bummed to see her naked again. I'm not saying
you're getting donked.
No. Yeah. And I've already been donged once. I've seen 1 dong and
bullshit.
0 breasts. So that's bullshit. And another thing that happened to me, speaking of dongs, went away for the weekend, went out to the Dez with the sauce. And we kind of rotate through a couple different hotels that we'll stay at out there. Like, you know, whoever's got of a few that we like, whoever's got the best deal at the time, that's where we'll stay. And we stayed at this kind of new, hip, like kind of cool. It's got like a reputation as being a cool hotel. And it was all right. But we were there Sunday and we're sitting by the pool. And I knew they were having a DJ. And I'm like, well, all right. You know, it's not like my first choice, but it won't be that bad. And the DJ was kind of good. He was playing like you know, like old school hip hop and R&B.
Oh, so he wasn't playing like techno.
No, it wasn't like Avicii. You know, it was like very like set a good vibe for the pool area. But I've noticed, I was looking around and I'm like, there are a lot of sort of larger hairy gentlemen here.
Bears.
Yeah, and there are some chicks, but the chicks are very outnumbered. And then I noticed just like more gentlemen are showing up in like
it's like a Schmitz Gay commercial.
Right, in like women's gladiator sandals, and then like this whole group of guys showed up and stripped down to Speedos, and there was like seven guys on rafts and Speedos, and I'm like, wait, am I at a fucking gay pool? Like I didn't sign up for the gay package, you know? Like I was cool with it. It was fine.
Right.
It just I wasn't prepared for it.
There's a certain vibe. There's a certain vibe. And I've been in gay bars before, and it's a more aggressive crowd. There's a lot more forward actions going on.
Yeah, and I think I might have like one of them, as I was walking to the bathroom, like tried to strike up a conversation with me, and I'll be honest, like I wasn't bummed about it. Like I liked that I got a little attention out there.
Sure,
I liked that I was considered attractive enough to make conversation with.
Yeah, be a real bummer like nobody talked to you.
Yeah. Yeah, or just like like averted their gaze quickly, or every time I walked by, or whispered. So I'll take that. Then I ended up at a gay bar or a gay.
One year I was down. It was like near New Year's, and I was down at my buddy in DC's place, and there was the Redskins were playing a game where if they won, they'd go to the playoffs. If they lost, they're out.
Oh, this must have been a long ass time ago.
It was RG3's rookie year.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. And I said to my buddy, hey, look, can you just find a good, like, tell us, find out what's a good bar for us to go to watch this game. It was like a night game. And I was trying to watch the game, and there was a dude just throwing napkins, like balled up napkins, and hitting me in the back of the head and then pretending he didn't do it. Yeah. And I was like, what the fuck is going on? Is somebody trying to fight me? Like, I'm just watching a game. Like, I didn't understand, and I'm not the type of person that really wants to be fighting. You know, some people like really are ready to go.
Yeah, you're not aggressive in that way.
I was like, buddy, what's going on? Like, what? And he just like looks the other way.
He was flirting.
I didn't realize it. And then I look, and there's a plaque in the corner, and it said, voted DC's best gay bar, like, you know, 2006. And I was like, you brought me to a fucking gay sports bar? Like, what? What? Yeah. You know, listen, I want that guy to be flirting, but like, he was wasting his time flirting with me. Because
not your bag, man.
Gay sex.
I know.
So yeah, at halftime, I got the fuck out of there.
Yeah, that's probably a good move. Okay, you ready to do some email?
Let's do it.
Okay. Distinguished gentlemen, are you like me? Do you wash your sheets immediately following a sex sesh? I prefer not to sleep on top of DNA stains. Thank you. That's from Brody in Cardiff by the sea. Ed, your thoughts there? You want to field that one?
Right after I've finished having sex. I mean, it's mostly later in the evening.
Yeah, yeah.
The last thing on my mind is just doing laundry.
No.
That's a next day event for me.
Yeah, 100%.
I'm not like, hey, all right, now that I'm finished with that, let me go throw this in the... Like I that's when I'm my most relaxed. At that point, I just want to continue.
I was thinking about this, and I think most of my intercourse happens like on top of the comforter these days. It just seems to work out that way.
Hmm.
But also, I wouldn't say that it's an especially messy affair typically. Right. I don't know. Maybe if it was going to be, it would put something down. And I would say that to Brody. Brody sounds like he's either got an undiagnosed or maybe diagnosed case of OCD, where he's just really freaking out. Like he's doing the door handle with his elbow, and
he's like John Lennon in the late 70s.
Yeah, he's like tiptoeing everywhere, and he can't touch anything. And before he walks in the house,
touching doorknobs.
Yeah, he's got to turn the key three times and touch his forehead to the door jamb before he can walk in. And he's got all sorts of rituals, but maybe he's just like doing such serious work that his partner, because it's typically
water sports,
right? It's typically the partner maybe he's a real fuck machine like Bobby Kremins, and the Niagara Falls is just opening up during his sessions. In which case, I would say it's probably I would prepare beforehand, maybe just put a towel down or something, just to, because changing the sheets is a bitch.
Yeah, I mean, just getting all four corners down.
Oh, my God.
It's just too much work after you've done something joyous and athletic.
If you're tired after, usually.
Yeah, you just kind of want to chill. You want to chill.
Also, that last corner is never right.
You can get it sort of down, but yeah. It's never like clean. You got three clean corners and one garbage corner.
The fitted sheet is bullshit. But good for you, Brody. Hey, yeah. ED and Brian. How much do you think it takes for Dan Bilzerian to get a boner these days? He's constantly surrounded by hot Instagram skanks. Dude's prostate must be worn out. Thank you. That's from Drew in Los Angeles. And when I got this email, I thought Dan Bilzerian might be the type of pop culture celebrity, new era celebrity, that Ed Daly is not aware of. So I ask you, Ed, are you familiar with Dan Bilzerian?
I have no idea who Dan Bilzerian is.
I knew it. Dan Bilzerian is this like
I saw this question and I was gonna Google it and I was like, you know what? I should just answer truthfully. I have no idea who
he's
is.
The worst. He's this like Instagram douche. And he's like he's like in pretty good shape. He's got a big beard. And he's got this whole like made up backstory that's all bullshit, that he's like got rich playing poker or something, but really his dad was like some kind of like shyster mortgage company guy and he inherited a whole bunch of money. And he's got this real curated Instagram life where he's always like with tons of women. And he's like shooting guns and he's driving a Lamborghini and jumping out of planes.
You know what? I kind of do remember he's like a guy who like will show off his arsenal of guns with like a bikini. Yeah. I've seen this guy.
Lots of guns and like just excess. And he's just really living the life. And I mean, any guy with lots of dough is probably getting a fair amount of pussy. I would say that the life he curates for himself via his Instagram feed is probably not what actually happens in his life, but maybe it's close to it. I am not a fan of the guy. I'm not a fan of anybody that postures like that. It's just inauthentic. Okay, here's another one. Hi, amigos. Long time no email. Hey, quick question. When was your last wet dream? There's a theme here. A few months ago when I woke up, I expected to have to change my chonies, but was dry. It made me wonder, how old is too old to have one? Sometimes it might be more convenient to knock it out that way. Anyway, just needed to get this on paper as it was top of the mind. Salud, John in Fullerton, but really in Huntington Beach. Okay, thank you for that, John. Ed Daly, do you recall your last wet dream, nocturnal emission?
I think I've said this before. I have never had a nocturnal emission. Like, I was petrified because you read about it in the health books and stuff. Like, I was afraid, you know, back when my mom was like, washing the sheets, that it would happen.
Yeah.
I never had one.
I've never had one either. I've never had a wet dream in my life.
I mean, I guess it's because I was frequently making sure that there wasn't much left in the tank.
That's what it is. You know, the only time you have one is when you have an overabundance, when the pipes have not been cleared out in the cabin since the winter, sometimes they burst. They burst forth. It's never happened to me. I've been clearing the pipes pretty regularly for a pretty long time. I've never nocturnally emitted.
But you would read about it and they're like, it's okay if it happens.
Wrong with me. Yeah.
It's okay if it happens, you know. It happens to everybody, and then it never happened to me. And I was concerned for a while.
And I've had sex dreams.
Yeah. I will still have an occasional sex dream, but no, it's never finished.
No, same here. So good for you, John. Brian, Easy Ed Daily Fancy. Just wanted to thank you for doing the great job that you do. Brian, despite your inexplicable love for rings, flip-flops, all things snake-related, and despite trying to justify microwaving fish, all caps, at his place of work, I need to tell you that you are the star of the show, and you bring it all together. Where's this going? I'm waiting for him to make fun of me. Please, please continue bringing us hilarity as the loud coming show of record. That is from Toe Cutter. Hashtag current episode. Hashtag loud comer.
Oh.
Toe Cutter wants us to know.
Toe Cutter. He does love his loud coming segments.
Wow. Well, I appreciate that compliment. Thank you very much. But there's two other people here, Toe Cutter. I guess typically he has nice things to say about you guys, and he doesn't usually about me. So maybe he just wanted to like throw me a courtesy, a mercy email.
He's a good man.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I appreciate everybody that reaches out and wants to be a part of our world. So everyone, feel free. Continue. Ask us all your wet dream questions, the volume of your cums.
A lot of mess-related questions.
Really? Yeah. A lot of – and a specific kind of mess.
Slippery mess.
Yeah. No.
Very viscous mess.
Oh, gross. Okay, Ed, what is going on in the world? This is a sports show. You know what I was watching this weekend? While we're away, while I was waiting for my betrothed to prepare for dinner, I was watching the Predators and Jets overtime game, and man, was it fantastic. So good. NHL playoffs, so good. And there's lots of good stuff happening in the NHL playoffs that I might not already know about, right, Ed?
Yeah, I mean, I have no idea. I know Vegas is doing really well.
Yeah, there's something you can do in the playoffs, and what you can do is you can ride a hot goaltender. You may have heard that before.
Right.
And Vegas, while really good, they've got a lot of skaters. They put a lot of pressure in the offensive end. They can do that because their netminder, Marc-Andre Fleury, and he's got some cups from his time with the Pittsburgh Penguins. He is legitimately out of his fucking mind, on absolute fire right now, and he could take them all the way to the cup. But what else is going on in the NHL playoffs, Ed?
Well, I guess the Bruins are playing the Maple Leafs.
Bruins, well, they closed out the Leafs. So that was a round one thing.
Okay, so and during round one.
It was almost one of the great, one of the things we always hope for, and that is a epic sports fail for the Boston area and the Boston fans, because they were up 3-1 against the Leafs. And ended up having to salvage the series in a game 7 because the Leafs came back and won 2 in a row to force a game 7. But the Bruins moved on. This is basically like an NHL puck podcast now. Ask me any hockey questions.
You're Mr. Hockey. Yeah. Forget Gordie Howe. You're Mr. Hockey.
No, I am. I basically am.
Well, according to ESPN, during that series, the NHL called up the Bruins to let them know that Brad Marchand should not be licking or nuzzling his opponents.
Wow.
In game one of that series, Marchand got very close to Maple Leafs forward Leo Komarov.
Yeah.
And nuzzled him. I thought he wanted to cuddle. I just wanted to get close to him, Marchand told reporters after the game. He keeps trying to get close to me. I don't know if he's got a thing for me or what. He's cute.
Yeah.
Now, Brian, on a scale of 1 to 10, how surprised are you to find a beloved Boston area athlete to be an asshole?
Well, normally, this, like, I don't like agitators. Just
Sean, what was his name?
Sean Avery.
Avery was the ultimate agitator.
He was. But I liked him because he was on the Kings, or at least he started.
He was a Ranger for a little while too.
Right, he started his career on the Kings, and he was an agitator. The Ducks have a guy like this called Corey Perry that's just a dick, but he's an agitator and he's good. But normally I don't like it. I don't like guys that like come over and like they're in the penalty box, and when you skate by, they squirt you with the water bottle or. They're always like coming over and like untucking your jersey or, you know, just being a fucking asshole. But I will say, and of course, you're never going to find me supporting any kind of Boston sports franchise. I think we can all, that's a universal truth. But I will say this. I mean, I find this kind of funny. Like he's like skating up to guys and like kissing them on the cheek and stuff. Like,
yeah, they said he had done this to the guy already.
Yeah,
like during the year, he kissed him on the cheek.
It's like a reverse psychology because everybody's like had somebody come up and like, you know, kind of fucking sucker punch you in the gut or something. Like hockey's a rough game and these guys are fucking animals out there. Like you can't turn your back on these guys. You got to keep your head on a swivel because they will fucking carve you up. But this guy's flipped it where he comes over and he does something loving to his enemies. And
nuzzle.
That, I feel like that could really fuck up their mental game now that they're on to the second round against. No, I don't recall who they're playing in the second round.
Yeah. Well, the game I'm watching right now is the Caps versus Penguins. And They just showed in the Pittsburgh crowd two of the Hansen brothers.
Oh, yeah. Those guys are still around.
They're not aging so well.
Well,
then again, like, you know. Their starting point wasn't so great.
I mean, that movie is from, like, what, 1970?
No, I would say probably 80, right?
80? Really? It's a great movie. I mean,
it is.
It's one of, it's, I think people forget when they talk about, like, the best sports movies of all time.
Paul Newman is just the best.
So good. The little French guy that played the goalie. 1977, you were closer than I was. Yeah.
You'd win Price is Right rules.
Slap. That's true. You went over. What else is going on in sports, Ed?
All right. So five women. Sandra Thompson, who's 50 years old. Mineka Oho. Sandra Harrison. Caroline Dow. And Karen Crosby had a 10:08 tee time at the Grandview Golf Course in York, Pennsylvania. But were delayed for an hour because of frost on the course.
Oh, frost delay. I heard those were only... I've only heard of those. A lot of times people that I know that like to play golf, they will at the end of the round be like, let's get some beers. I'm going to call the wife and tell her there was a frost delay. And I'll be like, the fuck is that? It was 70 degrees. And he's like, no, it happens. We started early. You know, if there's frost on the course, they won't let you play. And I've never actually witnessed a frost delay. I thought they were just made up so you didn't have to go home to your wife, but apparently not.
Wow. It sounds like it really was a thing.
Yeah.
And this was their first time playing on the course under the new discounted membership. Mm. And the course was packed. Now, Steve Cronister, whose son Jordan and daughter-in-law JJ own the golf course, told the women they were moving too slow on the course clubs. They were not keeping a quick enough pace. The club offered to refund their memberships and called 911 twice on the women who refused to leave.
Yes.
Now, maybe this is the point in the story where I should mention these were black women.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
And the black women were getting the Starbucks treatment. The story went national, And now politicians are all over it. So, Brian, two questions. Why didn't they just ask to play through if they were going so slow?
Right.
And also, yeah, the police shouldn't have been called, but why were there five golfers in this foursome?
Well, there's two things there. There's two things. So, one, initially I heard the story and I was like, well, there's nothing worse than somebody that's playing real slow in front of you. And usually the marshal will come over and sounds like this old guy whose children own the course was the marshal out there, and they'll nudge you. Hey, can you pick it up? Or they'll even be like, hey, can you let this group behind you play through or whatever? But they will let you know that you need to play more quickly. And sometimes that, you know, people don't agree or whatever. They'll have to be more forceful about it, and to the point where I'm sure people have been asked to leave the course before. I don't know why police would ever need to be called, but
police were called because they're black, for sure.
Secondly, you can't get too pissed about people playing slow when you let them go out with five golfers,
right?
That's too many. You're asking for people to play slow, and you get five golfers behind five golfers behind five golfers, and the whole course ends up being fucked. So, fuck this course. I don't know how much it had to do with him being black, but I don't think the police would ever need to be called to it. This is a civil.
If it was five 50-year-old white women, the police are never showing up.
Probably not.
But
black people are scary.
but that's where you just say sorry until you shave this group down or you split up.
Yep.
Five are not teeing off right now.
No, you can't. If you're going to let people go out, if you're going to allow five sums on your course, you're going to experience slow play. And I'm sure they were playing slow, but they're women also. Women tend to play slower than men. They talk more. It's just a thing.
Chats.
Yeah, they're very chatty. Okay, what else is going on, Ed?
All right, I'll just give you the quick one because we're starting to go on. During TNC's Inside the NBA this past week, Shaq made the argument that if you've got an $80 tank of gas, it's cheaper to drain half your tank off than put in only $20, and that eventually it won't cost as much. Wow. Now, Brian. First question is, does Shaq drive an 18-wheeler with his $80 tank of gas?
Yes.
And two, why do people still like and employ Shaq to talk?
He's so dumb.
But he's so unfunny. Like he's dramatically unfunny.
I don't explain to me his logic again, because I don't understand.
He thinks it burns off less, like I guess the start of the tank burns off quicker. So if you just constantly put in, you chip away and just keep putting in 20, it'll go slower.
Yeah. That's,
I mean, why does he think it? Because he's real fucking dumb.
That's real dumb. That's like some bro science there. I do recall, you know, as an early driver, that it was just assumed that the first half of the tank burned off slower than the second half of the tank. So once you got down to half a tank, you would go much more quickly from half a tank to an empty tank than you would have from a full tank to a half tank. And of course, the car just burns gas how you drive it. Like if you always drive the same way, it's always going to burn it at the same rate. And also,
although I will say the phone battery, when you get under that 20%, it's at like 8%.
You got to go that low power mode.
Yeah.
Also, it's weird that Shaq, who career earnings has to be in the 200 millions, would be so worried about saving a few bucks on a tank of gas.
Yeah, Brian Gumbel just did the whole thing on how much money he makes.
Shaq?
Was it the Brian Gumbel show? It's
Real Sports?
I thought they did a thing like as a businessman.
Yeah,
I think it was that awful guy Bernie. The guy looks like a rat.
Yeah, Bernie Goldberg.
He's the worst because he asked the same question. Like somebody says, like, I didn't even see it. He'd be like, you didn't even see it?
Yeah.
No, he just said, fucking, I didn't see it. Why are you asking him the same question again? Really annoying.
Yeah, he's my least favorite on that show. Shaq has made some savvy business deals.
Like, insane amount of money.
I think he gets a piece of the company in exchange for his endorsement. And that ends up being very lucrative. So he's like, hey, you don't have to pay me my usual number on the front end. You know, you don't have to get me on my quote, but you're going to give me equity in the company and I'll agree to do commercials for X amount of time. So he does like general car insurance. And you're like, hey, wow, that's
stupid cartoon.
That's a fucking low rent ad. Why is he doing that? Well, because car insurance is big fucking money, and they probably gave him a sizable chunk of the company to endorse it. And I think the same thing with like Icy Hot. I don't know if this was explained or discussed on Real Time, but it's my understanding.
No, I fast forwarded the story after about a minute, but yeah,
he gets a taste, kind of like 50 Cent and vitamin water. Yeah, he got like 10% or something ridiculous, and then the company sold for $1 billion.
Yeah.
That's a good gig.
That is a pretty good. I mean, how about all the guys who got in on Google? A lot of athletes were part of the like venture capitalists. Like,
yeah.
When you just have that kind of money,
yeah,
like LeBron
people let you know.
Maybe Shaq was in on Google. They just say, hey, you know, you want to just take a couple flyers on some of these up and coming companies? And when one turns out to be Google, that's worth more than your fucking playing career.
It's my understanding that Nasty Nas has been extremely successful in that investing in startups. Like, that's his game.
I read some unfortunate news about Nas.
No, he likes to tune them up.
Yeah.
His women.
But I'm kind of proud of myself. Aside from like Mel Gibson, I can separate the art and the person.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm okay with that.
I mean, there are some people that I am such a fan of that I wonder if like a Bill Cosby situation happened and it was Willie Nelson, who I just, you know,
yeah, that would
like
be
America's dad.
Today's birthday? Yesterday? It was in the last couple days.
Yeah, I think it was this weekend. I think it was like on Saturday. And you know, like if I found out something like that about Willie Nelson, I would be like super bummed. And one of my other heroes, John McEnroe,
we know he tuned up Tatum O'Neal.
Well, we don't know that. We know that she says that.
Right. Yeah.
But I mean,
but then he says crazy. Like, well, she's those nuts. Were some crazy, but he also says those were some crazy years with cocaine.
Right.
Like, you know, when you say you can't remember, anytime people can't remember things, like,
yeah,
you kind of know the general framework. Like, I love that. The Joy Reid defense that she had a blog. This is CNN?
She's MSNBC.
But she's been like, you know, a real crusader for women and stuff like that. And then
she's a very well prepared interviewer. Yeah, she's very
intelligent,
a good study.
But then somebody found her like really, you know, over the top anti-gay blog, and she's like, I must have been hacked. Well, first of all, that's just not going to work. And then she's like, well, it's not the person I am. I don't even remember this. And it's like, you wrote this 6 years ago, and you wrote like, you know, in full sentences. 6 years ago, you wrote a blog and you can't remember? Of course you can.
Right.
When people say they can't remember, bullshit. You remember yourself. You might not remember something somebody said to you 6 years ago. You always remember yourself.
How about that? What about that that quarterback that just got drafted? Josh Allen.
Josh Allen. And he's like, it was a long time ago. I mean, it was like 6-7 years ago. You're dropping N-bombs and saying, was if it ain't white, it ain't right. And they're like, well, that's not the Josh Allen we know. Oh, what, a fucking Wyoming quarterback? Some grit from Mike Wyoming? Yeah, that is the guy.
Yeah, That,
but now he's a Buffalo Bill, so it'll be all right.
But how do you not, like, if you delete tweets, is like the whole internet saved somewhere? Like, if you know,
no, but like they discovered this in January, and like I had been hearing about this guy because it was like, this guy might be the number one pick, and he's from Wyoming. You'd been hearing about him for 2 years. So like nobody, I mean, especially when he got an agent, which he had an agent last year. Like,
right. That, well, they go through and get rid of that stuff. They have a team that does that.
That's their whole purpose. But to like clean up their guy.
But I wonder if somebody like discovers it and then they wait, they hold it till they need it.
Yeah, like maybe the Bills waited so they could get him at pick number 7.
Yeah, exactly. Like they drop the info when they need it. And then, you know, so then it's more, or some reporter that needs a scoop is like, well, I'll hold on to this. Hopefully no one else will find it. And then I get more page views if I do it right before the draft.
Well, the good thing for him is, I mean, he's going to be an NFL quarterback. So like, he probably won't be around any black people. So that'll never be uncomfortable in the locker room.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and he's expected to be the quarterback, so hopefully he can make amends before the season starts. Speaking of people that have regrets, there. So some friends of mine are away. They're like across the country attending a wedding,
Okay. And
they get a call from their kids, and it's like 4 o'clock in the morning, wherever they are. They're in New York, and their kids, they live in up north in the Bay Area. And their kids are like, Dad, don't freak out, but something's wrong with the dog. And he's like, okay, he starts asking questions. What's going on? Did you get into something? What's the dog doing? Well, he's just like not, he's like fine, but he's just like not really moving. And but his eyes are open. He's panting. We're not sure. Well, through some more questions, they find out that the kids had made a special batch of brownies while the parents were away. And the dog had gotten in to those brownies and gotten himself a little sick. Everyone turned out okay, but apparently the pan that was used to make the brownies was what even have been washed, been through the dishwasher, and then was used again to make some cookies, and just the pan had become so coated with oil, with weed oil, that another batch of cookies got people insanely high. So they had to get rid of the pan. I wonder if that same feeling of regret that my friend's daughters had came over the 74-year-old church elder who accidentally got several congregants starting at age 12 all the way up to age 70. They all had to go to the emergency room because he fed them pot cookies. You never know what you'll get when you go to church. Enlightenment, maybe a sense of community and friendship, perhaps. Stoned out of your gourd, apparently that can happen too. At least that was the case for 6 congregation members at the St. John's Apostle Catholic Church in Bloomington, Indiana last year. The 6 thought they were indulging in some sinfully delicious cookies. As it turned out, they were correct. A 70-year-old parishioner identified only as Mr. Jones is now accused of lacing the cookies with THC. That's pretty fucked up. Several congregants aged 12 to 70 ended up in the local emergency room on that fateful day complaining of adverse effects from the cookies, which they reported as tasting unusually salty. Mr. Jones initially admitted to making the cookies, but denied adding an illegal substance to them. Then the police obtained a warrant to search his home and found an orange pill bottle containing capsules of a brown, oily substance, which later tested positive for marijuana. The gentleman baker turned himself in after a warrant for his arrest was issued. He's been charged with criminal recklessness and possession of hash oil. Ed, I would say, well, you know, I'd make a joke or something that maybe this is the victimless crime, but I might have to add this to my list of acceptable reasons for the death penalty, because there's nothing fucking worse than being high when you do not, under any circumstances, want to be high.
That's true.
It's the worst feeling in the world.
It's not, yeah, it's not a good feeling because, like, you got to get yourself in the proper mindset when shit is just starting to fall apart on you mentally. Like, it's worrisome. So you get paranoid. The thing that surprises me is, they said how many? You said age 12 to 70. Like, doesn't anybody notice? Because I've had, you know, a handful of different edibles. They all taste like edibles. Like, it's not like you're like, oh, this sugar is a little bit different. Like, you're tasting weed. I've never, no matter what people say, oh, you can't taste it, I've always tasted it, brownies and stuff.
Yeah. Oh, no, it does taste a little bit like weed. But if you're 12.
You're 12, you don't know.
Right.
But, yeah, the other thing is, oh, wait, I lost my train of thought. The guy's 74, like, obviously he fucked up. I don't know how I'm supposed to feel, because this plays into my whole narrative that absolutely no baked goods. I don't want to eat people's baked goods unless I really know who they are and what they're up to. I'll go to, like, a dinner party and I know that they're making dinner. That's fine. I don't, if somebody brings in a tray of brownies.
No.
Like, you know, at the school, my kid's school, I'm not touching those fucking things.
No, definitely not. And I was at a party once, because weed is so prevalent now. I was at a party not that long ago and there was, like, food put out, and I heard somebody showed up and they were like reaching for a cookie or something. And then they're like, hey, wait, is there weed in this? And it was like, not that kind of party, but it was just funny that we've reached
it's on the table at any point.
That needs to be asked. Ed, I need an aside here, because I just made the mistake of checking my Twitter during the show, which I never do. And somebody's saying something that I don't understand. But I'm having a rage response.
Okay.
So, that, remember I said Dean was asking if we were recording yet. Our very own writes a bill, who is wonderful at making parody songs on this show, I should say.
Right.
He responded to Dean, I hear those abortion jokes are straight fire these days. Working those in this week. Have what we done any abortion related humor on the show?
No.
I don't feel like that's part of my comedy. I can never tell if people are joking or not.
Well, I mean, he's always with the failed sass. So I don't remember joking. I mean, like, not even jokes. I don't remember, like, stating positions on abortion. I mean, I think you can all guess what my position is, but I don't think I've ever talked about it on the show.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure if I did make a joke, it was fucking hilarious, but I don't, I'm just going to respond. No clue what you are talking about, Snowflake, but feel free to eat my ass. Fuck off. I don't know if he's trying to be funny. I don't know what's going on, but I don't give a fuck. You know, go fuck yourself. Suck my dick.
I don't know.
Yeah, I could give a shit. Okay. Back to the show. Oh, lot of people hit
I'll
us
tell
up.
You what, that was yeah. an abortion of a joke.
Yeah.
Ayo.
A lot of people hit me up with this, and I realize it's an older story, but I thought we should discuss it with you because you used to work on Wall Street.
Okay.
Masturbating at work is a doctor-approved stress reliever, Ed. Should masturbation breaks become the new smoke breaks? Yes, according to some psychologists. Mark Sargent, a senior lecturer in psychology at Nottingham Trent University, sounds like it's in England, told Metro, some website, that a masturbation break would be very effective at work and a great way to relieve tension and stress. I feel like they would have this at Google. Psychologist and life coach Dr. Cliff Arnall agreed. I would expect a masturbation policy to result in more focus, less aggression, higher productivity, and more smiling. Certainly, taking a masturbation break for boredom or an escape would increase work focus. I like this sort of outside-of-the-box thinking, Ed. Sargent and Arnold's supposition came after a recent survey by Time Out New York. Isn't that that like magazine that always puts Howard Stern on the cover so that he'll talk to them? Found 39.
Time Out New York's a great magazine.
Oh, it is? Is
it like just – and there's a Time Out London. I'm surprised there's not like a – LA one or whatever. Right. It just tells you like everything going on in the city like for that week. So, you know, if there's anything from concerts to restaurant deals or something, it's like a TV guide for what's happening in New York City. It's a good magazine.
Well, they did a poll. 39% of male readers reported masturbating in the office after an earlier poll by Glamour put that figure at 31% of workers. According to Arnall, however, masturbation breaks shouldn't be driven by lust or fantasizing about a colleague, as this would likely result in cognitive impairment. Such breaks should only be taken if they're motivated by a genuine desire for stress relief. Well, yeah, I mean, that's the point. So, Ed, I saw Wolf of Wall Street and Matthew McConaughey.
Mm-hmm.
He had some very good advice about this. Of course, he was also like, you should do a couple lines of blow along with your martinis at lunch, but also you should crank it out like a few times a day at the office, which seems excessive. Did you get such advice when you were in the bond slinging game?
I did. When that movie came out, I Googled like all these guys. I mean, I'd heard the name Jordan Belfort. But that guy, his mentor, the McConaughey character.
Yes.
There was like a YouTube clip of him being interviewed when that movie came out. And he said, like, yeah, that was about 95% true, the scenes that I was portrayed. Like, he was fully admitting that that was what happened.
Yeah. I love that. He owns it. Just like all these guys that jerk it at work in this article.
It is crazy to me because work, I don't know. I know. It's the least sexy environment. Now, a couple years ago, we talked about it, and one of us admitted to one time taking care of business at work. And it wasn't me.
Is that true?
Yeah, you said maybe people had left the office and you upstairs or something.
That is true. That is true. I was very...
I've never even contemplated jerking off.
Hold on. I was very hungover. And the entire office had left for the day. And we had a loft. And I had gone...
But if somebody comes back?
No one. And they were all gone. They were all gone away at meetings and they weren't coming back. And they all lived very far away. I worked in a small office. And I went upstairs to the loft area. And I remember I was just sitting there working on my laptop. And somebody had emailed, I think. It was right around the time that that Paris Hilton, like in the dark night vision sex tape came out. And someone had like sent me a link to it. And I was like, I like kind of watched it, and it's like I was very hungover, and it sent me. It started to spiral a little bit, I'll admit. All right. And I did. I finished. I took care of myself. I needed some self-soothing at that point. It was medicinal. But thankfully, that's the only time it's ever happened. And I was a much younger person at the time. And if I was quizzed in by Time Out New York, I would definitely say no, I never have, because I blocked it out of my mind until you just reminded me right now, which was very fucked up of you. How do you even remember that? I can't believe I said that.
And also, the only place you can jerk off is the men's room, and like,
yeah.
There, like,
I wasn't in the men's room. I was in the loft. Office,
yeah, is disgusting.
Yeah, super gross.
Well, like people just shitting their brains out, like, it piss everywhere, pubes, like, even like a men's room that like. I feel like it was cleaned twice a day, the one I worked at most recently. And it was still disgusting. Like, by 7:30, there had been, like, 8 people who had shit it up.
Yeah, so, as soon as you get there, it's a fucking line of dudes going in there to just fire one off. Speaking of, let's class this place up a little bit. Joining us now is... everyone's favorite pop culture correspondent. I'm just going to help her by pushing the mic just a little bit closer to her right now. She's just had a birthday. I hope everyone wishes her a happy birthday on the Twitter machine.
Yeah.
Of course, I'm talking
happy
about...
Happy 25th.
Of course, I'm talking about our very own Fancy Sauce. How are you today, Fancy?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Good.
I'm doing well.
Good.
Do you recall me doing any abortion-related comedy on the show last week? Because I've been accused of it.
Not in my segment.
Oh.
Did he accuse me? Maybe he was accusing me, which I certainly don't remember doing.
Everything we do on the show is in good taste, so. Maybe he was kidding.
So what was it like with Brian at the gay pool situation?
I told Ed how we randomly encountered a gay pool.
But at our hotel, you mean?
Yes.
It did get very gay.
It got very gay. Yeah. There was a lot of dudes in Speedos.
It was like one group of like 6 of them.
Yes.
And all then, like twinks in Speedos but there floating were, around.
Oh, I was hearing bears.
No, there were also bears.
Well, there were bears as well. Yeah. Not in the pool.
Yeah. The bears were adjacent to the pool.
Well, then a sandwich shows up and everybody's all about it.
Right. One of them said hi to me.
A bear.
A bear, yeah. But like a muscle bear.
You wanted to know where you got your hat.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. They like my style. Yeah. He was a muscle bear. Wow. And they like me because I'm smooth. Like, that is...
he liked your fanny pack and wanted to pack your fanny.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
It was an interesting scene of the pool. There was, like, that Unabomber guy that showed up with the wraparound glasses.
Yes.
A full beard.
Yes.
By the way, remember this... Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Keep going.
He had shorts and a t-shirt and shoes on, but like those sock shoes.
Yes.
And then he kind of posted up socks. He posted up on a chair in that outfit with the shoes on by the pool. And then at one point he took his shirt off, but left his shorts and shoes on, and then just sat there topless, kind of just scoping everyone out. And I couldn't tell if he was what his deal was.
I was a little drunk, but I announced he definitely looked like he could have been a mass murderer. And I announced to Kate, she's like, we need an exit strategy in case that guy comes back with a gun. And
he's ready to murder.
And I'd had a few drinks and I said, oh no, he comes back with a gun, I'm going right at him.
I just reported our security guard at work to HR.
Shut up.
The after our security guard... I'm not trying to stereotype. It's not that he's like a 27-year-old, maybe white guy with a gun who does this weird patrol, even though he doesn't have to at 5 o'clock when he starts.
He's helping
but
out.
But he walks around, but
he walks through the office.
He's like Richard Jewell.
He looks shady.
Yeah.
No, really. He has shady
Richard
energy.
Richard Jewell is innocent.
And also,
but that's what I'm saying. He's fitting the profile of
a vape pen and vaping while he's walking around.
He's vaping indoors? Well, you should call him for that.
I'm not into the whole thing.
So I have a few different gigs going, and one of my gigs, I got to go to this building, and I have to like go and do these seminars to expand my knowledge base. And I go to, and this is a big company, like one, like Fortune 10 company. And I go there and the door's always locked. I get it for security reasons, but it's a big building. You can't just walk into the lobby for whatever reason. They're very safe about it. So you go, you come up to the lobby door and the security guard opens the door and the security guard, this is like where everyone comes to the building. So if you have, like, I have business there. I'm meant to be there. People are expecting me. And I walk up and you like ring the bell or whatever. And the security guard like kind of cracks the door open about 4 inches and then kind of looks at you and either says nothing or goes, what? And I'm like, this is how. This is how you fucking right. greet the public. This is the face of your business. And this is like, this is what he did. And I have a buddy that also goes there and I'm like, hey, you ever notice that? And he's like, yeah, those guys are all fucking dicks. And it's all, it's like three different people that rotate through and they're all just supremely fucking pissed off that they have to open the door for you. But so their job is to open the door for you.
So they're acting like the guys working security, checking your receipts at Best Buy.
Yes. Yes, but worse.
Right, like with their highlighters.
Yes, totally. And this one in particular that's been there the last couple times, he even made some comment. He's like, I can't believe they're making me work on my Friday, and it was like a Tuesday or whatever. And then I see him go back, and he's got an open Diet Coke, and he's got an iPad that appears to have like some sort of Farmville or like Clash of Clans or some type of popular app based game going on it. That I interrupted. Okay. Quickly, let's do some email before we get into the pop culture segment of the show.
Let's do it.
Gentlemen, I'm a fan.
So this one's not for me.
I'd like to post an Apple or iTunes review, but at this point, I'm afraid I would be solely concentrating on the bullying of Fancy Sauce and the fact that Edward seems to be in Afghanistan on some sort of satellite delay.
Is that every week or just?
No, it's just, it's Skype, you know? It's like.
It was definitely I'm doing the best week. I can.
Yeah, we're not.
I feel I'm, it's not I'm responding fault. At a right. regular.
It's not your fault. We're, it's just Skype.
We're there's not in the same sometimes. Room. It's, you know, it's not the ideal situation, but.
Yeah, we've never even met.
We've never even met, you know? We have, but.
There was an outside chance we were going to meet this year, but no, it's not
going to happen. Ed's coming to California at the exact same time.
I will be right where Brian lives, but it will be like 4 days after he left the country.
Yeah, and I won't be here. So I'm sorry. I wish we could do that better.
Brian and Kate live. Obviously, I'd rather meet Kate than
right,
Brian.
Of course.
Obviously.
Why at the end of the podcast does Brian continually say, is that all, Kate? Anything else, Kate? Seemingly exasperated that she has another interesting story to relay. Did you get somebody to send this in?
No.
Do you know that at the beginning of each podcast, many of us listen for her voice during the introduction and then fast forward to her part of the show?
Then, well, you would have missed the whole Bobby Kremins segment.
I don't know. This is I like this guy. Then we have to endure Brian and his apparent rush to end the show as Brian starts in on her after one or two stories and says things like, come on, this thing is running long. Or let's wrap this thing up. It's been a long show.
Yeah.
Why are you being such a dick, Brian?
Hey, Brian and Ed. Fancy has only been on 5 minutes and you two have been rambling for over an hour. Let her go with what she brings. We need more Kate. So many exclamation points. It's time the Me Too movement comes to the baller lifestyle.
Yes.
The bullying must stop. We stand with and for Kate. Yours truly, Kennard in Kansas.
Time's up.
Wow. I'm not sure what to do with that.
Kennard. Kennard.
He's very complimentary to a point. He's very complimentary of certain people.
Yeah.
I appreciate that because I did not have a great day.
Oh, you didn't? I could tell by the look on your face when you walked in. Do you want to talk about it?
No.
That's another podcast. Okay. Here's another one. Ballers. I've reached out before for some life coaching and all of your feedback was invaluable. For me, when my wife and I needed to pick a name for our first child. So I know you'll be able to help with my current predicament. I'm solidly in the millennial generation, and I've been lucky enough to develop male pattern baldness in my 20s. Over the last 2 to 3 years, I've cut my hair shorter and shorter, but there's nothing left to be done to cover up the hair loss. As a result, I've started shaving my head. Bald is beautiful. That's my only option, right? As a proud member of hashtag Team Current Episode, hashtag Team Every Episode, and hashtag Team Friday Facts, I'm well aware of the stance on hair plugs, so there's no way I'm doing plugs. Thanks, and keep it baller. Ben 906. Well, I can tell you from my perspective, 100%, you've done the right thing, Ben. Don't try to hang on to it. Like, it's an inevitability. People look weird when they take too many measures to try to hold on to what's left to their hair. And I'm going to just give you a list of names. Michael Jordan. Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Bruce Willis.
Statham. Willis. I mean, there are loads of dudes. And no one looks at any of those dudes and goes, oh, fuck, that guy's got no hair. Like, look at a picture of The Rock when he had hair, and he looks kind of weird. You look at him with a fucking shaved head, and you're like, oh, man, that guy's a good-looking dude. Kate McManus, your thoughts from a woman. What do you think about Ben 906 and his male pattern baldness and doing the right thing and going honest about it?
I think that's great, and I think more people should feel comfortable doing that.
It's not like women sit around and go, oh my God, that guy over there is bald. Like,
no.
Like, guy's in good shape and he's got money and he's good looking.
It's not something I would even think about.
Right. Exactly.
I've dated guys that were bald.
There you go. Exactly.
I dated one guy that was completely bald, what? Like shaved down. Whoa.
I mean, we don't need to go through the whole history here. Okay.
I mean, while we're on the subject.
You're bullying me again. Oh, am I? Me too. Hashtag me too.
Yes, Ed.
Does their hair on their head, like, nah, I won't ask. Well, this. No.
Here's the thing.
I was going to talk about volume.
Does it affect the volume of their.
Yeah.
are bald men typically, would you know, Kate? Are bald men are typically loud comers? Oh, okay.
Good to know. Yeah. But I will say about the bald thing, you only think about the baldness when you see measures being taken.
100%.
Some sort of excessive hair. I mean,
yes.
You know, before he became the president, pretty much everybody just kept talking about Donald Trump, like what he was doing with that hair.
What is going on there?
Like, if you just shave it, like, that's not. Nobody talks about Bruce Willis's hair.
Nope.
You know, nobody. Like that. They don't. It's just not a discussion.
He went bald pretty young.
You can make it a discussion. By being weird about it.
Yes, 100%. Yeah. It's just like anything. If you're rocking it with confidence, like, it doesn't matter. It's just whatever you got. Like, there are, you know, fat guys that women, Biggie Smalls, RIP, Notorious B.I.G. He was a fat fuck, and he had a weird eye also.
Yeah, he did have a weird eye.
And guess what? The guy got fucking mad puss. He was always talking about it in his songs. Mm-hmm. Like, why? Because he was a charismatic dude. Like, and he overcame it.
Repped. That's why I fucked your bitch. But
yeah. That also happened. Another bald guy.
Yeah.
Very, very confident bald guy.
Yeah. In short, it doesn't matter. But, like, don't do anything where you're going to confuse anybody and make people think you're not bald. Like, yeah. just go for it.
Just go for it. But I appreciate that, Ben. Here's another one.
I hope we picked the right baby name. I don't remember naming any babies.
Well, I think we just were saying what would be a bad cute. Idea. Yeah.
Man.
Oh, I have another bird's nest. Look, there's a bird nesting in that palm there. Fancy. We have much.
A lot of wildlife back here.
That's the word I was looking for, wildlife in the backyard. Another email. Dear Ballers, I come to you in desperation. That girl that I have been nailing... Okay, hold on. I need a minute with this. So I messed it up. I come to you in desperation. The girl that I have been nailing is a dead fish in the sack. Is it because she is used to the guy doing all the work? What can I do to reanimate her when we bone? Thanks. That's from Rusty in Florida.
Get better at boning.
Hashtag Team Current Episode. Hold on.
That's what you can do.
This is another possible confidence issue. Sometimes women, and this is the conditioning that they get from society, are not comfortable being overtly sexual, even when they're having sex. It is something that, you know, they don't want to be thought of as a slut, or, oh, is she too good at it? Like, if a girl's too good at having sex, that means she's fucked a lot of guys or something. And it's all this sort of like made up thing that can be a real burden to women.
But also, we need like more details to be able to assess the situation. Also, like, is that, what is her personality like generally? Right. How long have you guys been seeing each other? What, has she always been like this? What, is she warming up at all?
What type
of sex?
Do you think
it's something that you're doing?
Yes.
Go
slow.
Do you feel like maybe she's just not comfortable sexually?
Take your time. Let her get comfortable. Mm-hmm. Talk about the things you like. Have a discussion about it. Yes, Ed, your thoughts.
But also, not everybody's comfortable with everything.
That's true, 100%.
I think the big issue is just being – I mean, if you're having sex, you got to be able to communicate. And you can kind of have these conversations – you know, delicately, but like you can have conversations about what you're into or what you're not. And like, yeah, maybe some, not everything is on board, but at least, you know, you're communicating. You gotta be talking.
You can't just
assume, oh, well, she's a dead fish. And so everything's off. Like you gotta talk,
but do the talking beforehand, because like when you're like, is that good? Is that, how's that? Do you want me to try it like this? Should I, you want a different position? Should I pull your hair? You want me to spank you a little bit? Dirty talk. You want to, me to play with your nipples? Like you can't like really be going through a checklist during the sesh, because then it gets awkward. You just want it to happen. You just want it to flow. Just be natural. You know, maybe it's you. Maybe you're a little too much of a loud comer and it makes her uncomfortable.
Yeah. But her eardrums hurt.
Open a line of dialogue and just, you know, hey, what do you think? I want you to be happy. Is there anything I could be doing differently? And just, I don't know, have a glass of wine first and just make it chill, or I don't know. But talk about it for sure. Okay, Kate, that's it for the email portion of the show. What's going on in the world of pop culture, which is apparently what people fast forward to.
Right.
It's like a 10-minute podcast for them.
Because that's the part where I'm talking.
Most people just bitch that it's too long.
It's like a half hour, right? No?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, let's start off with some sexual harassment updates.
Oh, no.
Are there some?
I mean,
there's more Me Too.
There's not a new person being accused, but this is a continuation of a story.
Oh, let's hear about it.
So in the aftermath of the public outing of known sexual harassers and assorted predators that took place in the aftermath of the Harvey Weinstein exposés, one of the many questions that's come up for debate is there a path to redemption for these men? If so, what should it look like?
This is the problem. We've lumped them all together, because there definitely That's is right. for some. But when everyone is put in the same fucking shoebox as a yeah. big fat rapist.
That's right.
Franken and Weinstein. Same.
Yeah, exactly. What's his name? Prairie Home Companion? Garrison Keillor? He didn't even do anything.
Well, I'm pretty offended by the way he looks, though.
Well, and his show's terrible, but
what was he accused of?
He like hugged a woman in a way that made her uncomfortable, and he immediately apologized and wrote her a letter, and it was like a whole thing that he was like, he was mortified that he was even accused and immediately apologized. But it came out at a time when everybody was being accused. And so, he's gone.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's a bummer.
I'm not really,
but anyway,
into that show.
Moving on. I'll tell you what it shouldn't look like, though.
Okay, tell me.
It shouldn't look like a show where serial harassers commiserate with other serial harassers about how unfair it is to be driven from your chosen profession simply because of a repeated pattern of words and behaviors betraying your fundamental disrespect for colleagues you view as sexual objects rather than full human beings. Anyway, this is the show that Charlie Rose pitched to ex-Vanity Fair editor and the Daily Beast co-founder, sorry, founder Tina Brown.
Oh, let's do it. We need to make this. We need to make this.
I would watch every minute of the show, but I think they should be forced to do whatever they were accused of or caught doing.
They should demonstrate.
Charlie Rose has to show up naked.
Yeah.
Like, he has to do the whole thing naked and pretend it was his assistant. And, like, he interviews Weinstein, and Weinstein's got to sit there and jack off into a potted plant.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that was, they both had the same move. So they could talk, hey, I used to walk out naked. It'd be like, meet, I would be in the shower and I would come out
totally
in open robe.
That.
Yeah. How'd that work for you?
Five.
Not that well. I had to rape him. Oh my God. Me either. None of them had sex with me.
So I don't know. It might just be an act of desperation on Charlie's part. As of right now, it's unclear whether this series is actually under development at an actual production company, or it's just an idle thought of his that he was trying to shock.
Well, I hope they make it. I would love to see this.
Why was the studio so dark? They had no lighting for his show.
Well, it was PBS. I was shocked when he got a job, when they put him on in the morning at CBS. I was like, wait, you have to be good looking to be on TV at that hour.
Like, yeah, Charlie Rose is a jarring look for the morning.
Yes. He's ancient.
Yeah, that
firstly.
One like droopy eye.
Yes.
That hangs down.
Not attractive. Imagine him walking. Imagine you sitting there at work and him walking
look
into
at this picture.
Yes, walking into the office
it's
just
like a corpse.
Fully nude and old.
No, thanks.
Okay, what else?
On an episode recently of Ellen NSYNC, we're on Ellen.
Yeah,
and they were playing a game.
They got a star on the Walk of Fame.
Are they back together?
No, unfortunately.
I think they were just talking as a group about the old days.
Yeah.
They were playing a game of Never Have I Ever when a shocking revelation came out. Never have I ever hooked up with a Spice Girl, said Ellen, before the stunned audience watched Timberlake go sheepishly quiet.
Yeah.
Apparently, he has hooked up with a Spice Girl, but would not, in true Justin Timberlake fashion, say who it was.
Let's rank the Spice Girls.
But apparently,
one was with Eddie Murphy, right?
Scary.
In an interview in 2016... Baby Spice Emma Bunton, after she was quizzed about the old rumors that she had a fling with Trouser Snake, said, no comment.
She's
so it seems like Baby Spice and Trouser Snake might have.
She's the hottest. She's
Which
the hottest of the Spice Girls. She's
baby
the blonde.
She's the blonde with the bangs.
Yeah, Baby Spice.
Yeah.
So the ranking of the Spice Girls, number one, Baby Spice.
Really?
Yeah.
Posh Spice all the way.
Oh, she's so skinny.
No, but when she was a Spice Girl,
she was hot.
Yeah,
she was hot. I remember thinking she was the hot one, and then she got like Skeletor-like.
Okay, I think I liked her too, but not as much as Baby. Baby?
The
Posh.
Baby looked like a baby.
No, she didn't. She's older than I am. Baby, Posh. Hold on. Ginger. Ginger, she was hot and cold. Yeah, she was good some days, bad others. Followed
no,
by
baby is not no.
Followed by scary, and then lastly sporty. But I believe, as of today, sporty might have eclipsed them all. I think sporty got kind of hot in the aftermath.
Did she fix her teeth? Because what I'm looking at,
yeah,
looks like she has Indian corn in her mouth.
I think sporty
Mel C.
Is that summer teeth?
Sporty
Whoa.
Spice. Oh yeah, she's banging today.
She's pretty.
She looks real good.
Sporty does.
Sporty Spice has really changed her appearance for the better.
Well, let me see what image are you judging that on?
Right here.
This one where she's all
that's
lubed
it?
Up.
Just that one?
This one. Well, see, when you click it, look here. She's all
no, she's just got oil. You can't even see what she looks like.
I like that.
She looks pretty.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, she looks very sporty for me.
What you're basing
I like her.
This commentary on is nonsense.
Hold on. I'm going to type in 2018. Sporty Spice 2018 because all these pictures
Melanie
are old.
Melanie Chisholm.
Chisholm. Oh, yeah. She's not bad. She knocked up? Oh, she's very fit. Yeah, she's pretty good looking.
I was in a
Catherine McManus. Go ahead.
I was in a store in London like I don't know, some supermarket or something, and they had the radio, the morning radio, and Lionel Richie was being interviewed by Baby Spice.
Oh, really? Oh,
like she's a morning show host or something.
Oh yeah, she's got a show.
And she was like, "So what do you think of the Spice Girls?" And he's like, "Yeah, they're great." And he's, "What do you think of Baby Spice?" And he's like, "I have to be honest, I don't really know anything about them." And she's like, "That's me. That's me. I'm Baby Spice." Like, he's just doing the interview circuit. Like, he had no idea.
You don't interview people about yourself. No. You don't. Lionel Richie.
You were only popular for a month and a half in 1996. You do.
Lionel Richie doesn't come on and you go, "Lionel Richie, you've had a 50-year career. You're a legend. So many hit songs. Tell me, what do you think about me?" Okay, Kate, what else is going on in the world of pop culture?
Black China. We all familiar with Black China?
No. We've done enough stories. The Kardashians.
She's a wife or something.
Right.
The Kardashian boys.
So here's what happened. I'll give Rob you a recap Kardashian's. For everybody who might not be up on who Black China is.
Take us through the Black China.
Black China, a.k.a. Renee something, was a stripper who hooked up with the rapper Tyga. They had a child together. They split up. Tyga hooked up with Kylie Jenner. Right. They went out for 2-3 years or something.
Yep.
And China hooked up with Kylie's brother, Rob Kardashian.
China and Kylie are both sisters-in-law and Eskimo sisters.
That's correct.
That is fantastic.
China and Rob Kardashian had a baby about a year ago, which they called Dream Kardashian.
Bartolo Colon in this picture.
China and Rob broke up.
He's not handsome.
They had a bitter breakup. They're still,
fighting
over the child.
Yep.
Kylie and Tyga also broke up.
Yep.
China is now pregnant with her 18-year-old rapper boyfriend, YBN Almighty J's baby, apparently.
YBN Almighty?
Jay
says, does he know Tekashi 6ix9ine?
Jay says the pair met on Christian Mingle in an interview and comments on the possibility of having a baby, saying, "I don't wear condoms. I wouldn't want to fuck a bitch I didn't want to get pregnant."
Yep, 100%.
China got pregnant. I'd keep that shit "Oh, daddy, love you. I love that ass."
Wow.
It's going to be pretty cool when that kid learns how to look things up on the internet.
Is he, do we have a new bard? I mean, is he up for Poet Laureate 2018? Do we know? Can we nominate him?
Probably.
Where did your parents meet? Well, daddy said, "I love that ass." And he doesn't wear condoms, so that's where we're at. Yeah.
Put two and two together there. He's 18. How old is she? Like
29.
Oh, she looks much older.
She's already like.
How fucking old is this Black China?
Right.
Interesting. Well, we'll have to see how those.
She looks 39.
Lovers. Yeah, she's very fertile.
She's. Right. She really was not planning ahead when she came up with that nickname.
No.
Black China. Yeah. What?
I don't know. I don't get that. I don't get that at all. Okay, what else is going on, Kate?
Let's get some
Her name's Angela. It's not a bad name. Like, Black China.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Oh, I thought her name was Renee.
It's Angela Renee White.
Angela Renee.
Angela Renee White. Wow, fantastic.
Let's get some sad news out of the way.
Yeah.
It seems that Swedish EDM star Avicii, who I spoke about last week on the show, who died... actually committed suicide.
La Sevenals.
The shards of a broken glass bottle.
Dude, that's
pretty
dark.
It's been unconfirmed whether it was a wound on the neck or the wrist. But that is very dark.
Ooh.
I guess he'd really struggled with thoughts about meaning, life, happiness. He could no longer go on, wanted to find peace. Which is heartbreaking.
That's how Ewan McGregor took himself out as his twin brother on season 3 of Fargo.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. Geez.
And it was.
Ryan, I haven't finished that season.
I mean, that show ended like a year ago. Probably season 4 is probably coming
still
soon.
I'm probably going to start that show, The Americans, from the beginning. And there's like 7 seasons.
I'm really.
I won't.
I was complaining before you got here. about the new season of Westworld.
Oh my god. But is there like a companion to that show that I can read after it airs so I can understand what the actual fuck I just
watched? I'm not doing that with any show. But we need to get to the more important part. By my count, we are at one dick and zero boobs this season through two episodes. Are you with me?
Yeah. I think that's right.
We need a Me Too for me. Because
does anyone understand what is happening on Westworld season two?
No.
The question needs to be asked, how did the dick look?
It was that British guy that's kind of like one of the storytellers.
It looks good. Brian was like convinced that he'd like pumped it up.
He did. He had it chubbed a bit. He was uncircumcised.
I mean, it looked it looked like semi. It was hanging to me.
Yeah, it was hanging, but it was hanging with blood. And then I demonstrated for our very own fancy sauce. I'm like, it was like this. And I gave mine a couple squeezes. And I let her have a look at it.
A lot of information.
And I was like, it was like this.
A little bit too much of a glimpse into our like living room.
He had a decent dick. Like it was a bit pasty for me. I have a darker penis, as many people know.
I mean,
I have a brown dick.
Do you not hijack my segment and start talking about dicks 99% of the time?
We did a real dick heavy show. I can't remember if it was last week or the week before.
Okay, let's move on to a story about the beloved Johnny Depp.
One of my favorite actors.
Johnny Depp is being sued not only by his management company.
Yeah.
He's in the midst of a bitter $25 million fraud lawsuit with his former manager.
I believe last we checked in on Johnny Depp's expenses, he was spending something like $3 million a month.
That's something like that.
On wine.
On wine and like island upkeep.
He loves wine.
And he has like too many mansions.
But, like, how much fucking wine can you drink?
He likes good wine.
Two of Depp's former bodyguards are also suing the actor for unpaid wages and overtime in the new civil suit. I can't be bothered saying these people's names, but they were used as a de facto chauffeurs and nannies for Depp's family and were exposed to illegal substances by guarding the hard partying actor. They claim that working for Depp put them in toxic situations, including once when an incident at a local nightclub involved the plaintiffs alerting Depp of illegal substances visible on his face and person while preventing onlookers from noticing Depp's condition. I mean, what's the big deal? That's your job. Hey, boss, you have some cocaine on your face.
Yeah.
Wipe it off.
Right.
That's what you're fucking getting paid to do.
That's a good gig.
You know?
I would pay them good money to wipe my nose.
I had to do that to Lindsay Depp in a nightclub in London once.
Lindsay Lohan.
Lindsay, what did I say?
Lindsay Depp.
It's been a long day. She came out of the bathroom.
Hold on. Allegedly?
No, I wasn't. Oh. I experienced this in the first person.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh. Oh.
She was in the bathroom for a long time.
Yeah.
My best friend Kate and I were drunk. Yeah. A little belligerent.
Yeah.
We might have banged on the door a lot. Because she's taking a really fucking long time.
Yeah.
And then she busted out. She had cocaine.
I mean, what appeared to be cocaine.
Appeared to be cocaine.
Yeah.
And I said to her, you might want to wipe your face.
Yeah.
And then she said, thanks. Looked in the mirror, wiped her face, and then pushed past me.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. That's fantastic.
And I didn't get paid for that.
Was Rod Stewart also there?
It was another night.
Oh. No, he was in the hospital getting semen pumped.
He had to get his stomach pumped. I mean, I wonder, like, that's pretty baller if you have an employee whose job it is to make sure you don't have any residual cocaine in your nose.
Well, they're also whinging about how they had to look after his kids.
I would bitch about that, too.
How old are his kids?
Yeah, they're adults.
Right.
His kids are like 20.
Lose their jobs if they didn't comply with his children's demands.
His kids have jobs.
You know, I apologize for my hard party. Please.
Johnny Depp.
The first couple seasons with Richard Grieco and the guy who plays Harry Aoki, we did a lot of
Dustin
cocaine.
Wayne.
Yeah. the Vietnamese guy with the Japanese name, and then Dom DeLuise's son.
Peter DeLuise.
We used to do our best to have as much cocaine on the fledgling Fox Network. But now that my children are grown, I expect my nanny to wipe the blow off my nose.
You're in your 50s, Johnny. Is that why you keep so many scarves and bandanas tied around your wrist?
Yes, I always need something to wipe the booger sugar off of my extremities.
Fantastic.
Because you never know when you need a good bump.
Wow. Fantastic. Okay. Well, thanks for that, Johnny Depp. Kate McManus, anything else? I don't want to rush you.
Yes, actually. I have another story.
Okay, great.
Is that okay?
Yes.
Do you think we have time?
Plenty.
Kanye West gave a bizarre interview on TMZ Live Tuesday.
He's losing his shit.
Where he claimed that 2 days before I was in the hospital, I was on opioids. I was addicted to opioids. I had plastic surgery because I was trying to look good for y'all. I got liposuction because I didn't want y'all to call me fat.
My fucking
like
God.
Y'all called Rob Kardashian at the wedding and made him fly home before me and Kim got married.
Yeah.
West 40 was hospitalized in November 2016, you might remember, after an onstage meltdown during the St. Pablo tour.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. It was the stress.
Yeah.
But he was having like a psychotic like
yeah,
episode.
He needs help.
He said, I was taking 2 pills a day at the time. When I left the hospital, how many pills do you think I was given? 7. I went from taking 2 pills to taking 7.
Well, they gave you 7 total? That's not even 3 days worth. That's not even 4 days worth.
It doesn't seem like it's
the reason
well
why I dropped those tweets and everything is because I was drugged the fuck out, bro. And I'm not drugged out. These pills that they want me to take 3 of a day, I take 1 a week, maybe 2 a week. Y'all have me scared of myself, of my vision. So I took some pills so I wouldn't go to the hospital and prove everyone right. We are drugged out. We are following other people's opinions.
Oh my God, you're so glib.
By the media.
You're saying you're so glib.
All changes.
You don't know the history of psychiatry. You're so glib, Kanye.
I do.
But then also, woo! Is this, I'm assuming like this is not, but then he like made all those weird tweets about slavery, you know, and he was like posting he and John legends. Like,
he said slavery is a choice.
He's in crisis.
He said, when you hear about slavery for 400 years, for 400 years, that sounds like a choice, he said. And then he later tweeted, to make myself clear, of course I know that slaves did not get shackled and put on a boat by free will. Okay, you. Also, stop calling Trump your boy. You fucking idiot.
Yeah. Well, he's a provocateur.
He's a dickhead.
But he's also
call me crazy.
In crisis. Yeah.
I kind of get like the sneaking suspicion that Kanye just likes the attention.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yes.
I mean,
of course.
That might be true, Ed. There might be something.
But he's also
to
nuts.
He is also nuts. Anyway, so you'll be relieved to know that that's it for me from me.
Yeah.
Today.
Oh, that's it. Oh, fantastic. Well, I appreciate it.
No, not, oh, fantastic. It's like, oh.
You do a great job. I mean, if you, because of scheduling.
Yes.
Kennard. Where was Kennard from?
Kansas.
Kennard in Kansas.
Yeah, because, alliteration.
Because of scheduling, Kennard, it's difficult for Fancy Sauce to join us any earlier than she does typically.
Mm-hmm.
Or else she would.
Mm-hmm.
So,
that's true.
Yeah. If we,
true that,
if we can get more time,
she packs more heat in her half hour.
She brings the heat.
Then she brings it.
Well, it gives us a boost.
We're stalling until she gets here.
Right. It gives us a boost. Like we're coming apart.
You guys are nice. Thanks.
And we've gotten to towards the end of our thing and we're running out of gas. We're older gentlemen these days.
That's true. We're men of a certain age.
Yeah, exactly. So it's nice to have a youngster pop in and bring the energy level up, which she does. Okay. So until next week for Kate McManus, for Ed Daly, my name is Brian Beckner. This has been episode 218 of the Abortion Hour. Feel free.
Let me know if you find out an answer for that.
Feel free to either join us next week or
send us some abortion jokes.
Fuck off forever. Good night.
Goodbye.